Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse.
Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. Faisal, things change all the time, as we know, and we're not just talking about stock markets, but laws, taxes, I mean, everything is in a constant state of change.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been some, or at least Alberta has introduced a bill to change the way that property and adult child support rules work for couples who are married versus couples who are not married, so common law. And we thought, you know, there's a lot of second marriages, second relationships, you know, in sort of that 50-plus crowd going
yep.
on. This is an area I think we need to stay on top of. We've got Marcus Sixta, who's a family lawyer, accredited family law mediator, and a registered collaborative divorce lawyer working in both BC and Alberta. Nobody better to help us understand what these proposed changes actually mean. Marcus, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, let's just talk a little bit about the bill. Maybe you can start with, maybe at a high level, Marcus, just give us a sense of what is being proposed and what the changes are.
Absolutely. So the government of Alberta introduced Bill 28 to amend the Family Law Act and the Matrimonial Property Act on November the 21st. It still needs to go through first and second reading, and then eventually it will reach royal assent. And these changes will come into force January 1st, 2020, at least with respect to the changes to the Property Act. Generally, what the changes are going to do in terms of property, it's going to create a situation where common law couples are now going to have the same rights to property at the end of a relationship as married couples. So that's a really big change. It's a change that BC implemented a few years ago. And fundamentally, it means that now in a common law relationship, when that relationship ends, if it ends, then the parties will both be entitled to receive 50% of all of the assets and debts accumulated during that relationship.
Now, you can correct me if I'm incorrect here, but the big change between common law from divorce or a breakup perspective, common law versus married, was really dower rights, was property rights. And that is this effectively leveling the playing field essentially between what was the common law rules and versus the married rules?
Exactly. So it levels the playing field in terms of how property would be divided upon separation.
Mm-hmm.
Previously, and I should say actually now, the current situation in Alberta is such that for common law couples, we have been using these arcane legal doctrines to figure out how to divide up property. And it has created a lot of confusion, inconsistent precedents coming out of the court, lots of different decisions. It's at a point where lawyers have a very hard time giving people good advice on what would happen if you're in a common law relationship and you split up, because the decisions are sort of all over the place. Mm. There's just so much discretion involved. Whereas on the marriage side, you have the Matrimonial Property Act, very clear, it's straightforward. It just says it's 50-50. There are some exemptions, there are exceptions, I should say, to the 50-50 division, but generally the principle is it's just all going to be 50-50.
Marcus, Go ahead.
With common law couples, it could be anything. It could be a range of zero sharing of the family assets all the way up to 50-50, depending on many different circumstances.
So
this would change that.
With this proposed change, people who are transitioning to or living in retirement, let's call it a 50-plus crowd, they've got, you know, they're blending families or they have adult children. They have children in post-secondary education that they may be obligated to, or just maybe funding to help them out. It becomes more complex, I believe, when you have a common law relationship and you're going through that period in your life. So walk those listeners through that are in a common law relationship. What do they need to be aware of? And if they have a different view than the 50-50 that you're mentioning, what should they do to protect themselves?
Well, yes, one of the issues here is that it's creating a situation where people will need to opt out of that 50-50 division When I say opt-out, it means that they will need to come to some agreement. We call them prenuptial agreements or cohabitation agreements. But an agreement that says we are going to split up our assets differently than what would happen under the legislation, which is 50-50. Now, right now, common law couples, many of them, I would suspect, are in common law relationships because, you know, there may be many different reasons, but one of the reasons could be that they don't want those formalities. They don't want to have to deal with a 50-50 division of all their assets. If somebody is in a second relationship, let's say that they've already gone through a marriage, they've been divorced, many couples that I see later on in life are in a common law relationship during that later period because they've already gone through the rigmarole of the marriage. It's less important for them. And on the property side, they don't want to have to share everything 50-50. This will change that. So it becomes very important to think about putting in place a cohabitation agreement that would outline how property would be divided in the event of separation, because you need to opt out of this legislation that's going to be in place January 1st, 2020.
Is there anything in the legislation that says when you opt out, you have to be somewhat reasonable, that you just can't go to zero, for example, as the rules are today between zero and 50-50? Can you still go to zeros? I guess this is the question, because a lot of people are going to be concerned about bringing in assets into a relationship and seeing the growth of those assets from the date of relationship till maybe when breakdown happens. How do they handle that kind of situation?
Well, yes. So it's important to structure an agreement so that it's going to be upheld. And you need to think about how you can do that, and looking forward at all the different circumstances that are going to happen in your lives. In Alberta, you can challenge agreements if there have been things like coercion. So if one person is pressured unduly to sign something, the pressure can be just emotional pressure, emotional abuse. If there's any kind of physical abuse or anything like that happening, of course, that can be considered coercion. If there's duress, if someone feels financial duress, like if they don't sign something, then you know, money is going to be taken away from them or their support is going to be taken away from them. That could be an issue. Or if there's a failure to disclose funds when an agreement is signed, that can be an area where an agreement can be opened up, because someone can say, I didn't know that person was worth all this money. And if I knew that they had all these assets, I would have never signed this agreement. So those are the rules that would apply in terms of making an agreement that is going to be upheld later, in terms of those types of challenges. But fairness is also something that should be considered.
Right.
What would be fair upon the breakdown of a relationship? So your agreement will be stronger if you are, not being really hard on a 0% sharing of assets. If there's some type of plan put in place to provide for the person who may not have assets at the end of one of these relationships, that will create a stronger agreement.
Yeah, okay. And so let's talk about, should this get royal assent in 2020, January 1st, this comes into effect, is it, are there any grandfathering? Is it immediately retroactive from that day forward, then, the new rules apply on the 50-50, or is there a transition period? How do the courts and how do the legal system handle that?
My understanding, based on what they've proposed right now, is that it would just start in 2020. So if you were to separate after that date, then I believe these new rules would apply. Right. So if you've been in a relationship, in a common law relationship, and then you separate after January 1st, 2020, that these new rules will apply. That's my understanding of
how it's going to work.
Yes.
That's very interesting, because about 1 in 10 Albertans are in a common law relationship.
Okay, right? 1 in 10.
So when you have that kind of a number, many of them have not probably thought about the cohabitation agreement. We talked to a lot of our clients who are are entering second relationships, and we talked to them about a cohabitation agreement, and they don't have one, or they've never thought about it.
Right.
Or they don't know how to do it.
Yep.
And so this changes everything, that, you know, what you thought was going to happen. And then if there was a a breakdown in the relationship, that the game has now changed completely, and that could impact what your thoughts were about your financial situation and property and everything else.
Yeah, for sure. Marcus, we're going to have to sign off here very shortly. If somebody's interested in getting some more information about this, how do they reach you?
They can reach me at Crossroads Law. So you can just go to our website. It's crossroadslaw.ca. And we are doing these types of agreements all the time. Mm-hmm. We also have an office in Vancouver, so we are used to these types of rules being applied to common law couples. And we provide flat rate cohabitation and prenuptial agreements, so people know what they're going to pay before they enter into one of these things.
Terrific. Thank you for sharing your expertise, thoughts, and giving us a bit of guidance on that. I appreciate all your time today.
Thank you very much for having me.
We've been joined by Marcus Sixta. He's a family lawyer, accredited family law mediator, and a registered collaborative divorce lawyer working in both BC and Alberta. Clearly, Faisal, things are, you know, getting more complicated. And, you know, we say this word often, but it leads to planning. Planning, you know, is very, very important in these cases.
And people plan for what could possibly happen in the future on the positive side.
Right.
People rarely plan on what could happen on the negative side.
Right.
And so that needs to be taken into account. We also don't plan for the negative issues or impacts when you transition to retirement. What could go wrong?
Yep.
There's a lot of hope out there, but there's no real protection on the downside in the event things go wrong. And that's what we're going to discuss at our seminar, Dave, on Tuesday, January 22nd, 7 p.m. at the Crowfoot Co-op Wine, Spirits, and Beer. Now, we're already starting to get people to fill up the room, so you need to reserve your seats. Please give us a call, 966-8400. That's 966-8400. Or register online at morethanmoneyradio.com.
Stick around after the break. We're going to talk about why people don't stop working, even if they can. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.